In the shadow of Lewis and Clark's celebrated journey, a far more ambitious venture was quietly unfolding, one that would shape America's destiny, yet somehow vanish from our collective memory. John Jacob Astor's audacious plan to establish America's first Pacific colony represented more than a business opportunity. It was a geopolitical chess move that even Thomas Jefferson believed could create a great free and independent empire on the Pacific coast. The routes blazed by Astor's suffering expeditionaries would later become the Oregon Trail, forever altering American expansion. Had this venture succeeded, the United States might today stretch unbroken from California to Alaska. Imagine building a global trading empire from nothing. That's exactly what John Jacob Astor, a poor German immigrant turned calculating businessman, set out to do. By 1808, he envisioned something revolutionary, a global trading triangle connecting New York, the Pacific Northwest, and China that would dominate commerce across the entire Pacific Rim. The plan was breathtaking. Establish a trading post at the Columbia River's mouth, use ships to carry valuable furs to China, exchange them for porcelains and silks, then sail to New York where these exotic goods would fetch enormous profits. Meanwhile, inland trading posts would funnel more furs to the coastal settlement, creating a self-sustaining commercial ecosystem. President Jefferson enthusiastically supported this vision, recognizing what many contemporaries didn't, that the Pacific would eventually rival the Atlantic in commercial importance. For this grand venture, Astor organized two advance parties, one traveling by sea aboard the Tonkin around Cape Horn, another trekking overland across the continent. What Astor couldn't foresee was how extreme isolation would distort his chosen leaders' personalities under pressure, ultimately determining his venture's fate. Captain Jonathan Thorne's tyrannical leadership plagued the Tonquin's voyage from the start. His military-style discipline led to threats against Scottish fur traders who defied his strict rules, including an 8 p.m. lights-out order. The journey grew more perilous at Cape Horn, where storms terrorized the crew amid lightning-lit seas. At the Falklands, Thorne abandoned a shore party over a clerk's prank, relenting only when Robert Stewart pursued with loaded pistols. In Hawaii, they learned of Captain Cook's fatal temper, an ominous parallel as they approached the Columbia River's treacherous bar. There, Thorne forced First Mate Fox to sound depths despite dangerous conditions, leading to the whaleboat's loss in massive waves. When Job Aiken finally found a channel, Thorne's refusal to assist capsized boats proved fatal. 8 of Astor's 60 men died at the Columbia's entrance, marking a tragic beginning to America's Pacific ventures. Wilson Price Hunt led 60 men up the Missouri River in spring 1811, their voyageurs singing as they fought the current. In May, they encountered 3 Kentucky trappers fleeing Blackfeet attacks, including the scalped Edward Robinson. Their warnings led Hunt to alter Astor's planned route southward. After trading for horses at Arikara villages, they abandoned river travel until reaching the Snake River, Mad River, in October. Their attempt to canoe downstream proved disastrous, with rapids claiming boats, supplies, and voyageur Antoine Clapin. By November 9, the starving party split into groups with minimal provisions to follow opposite sides of the river canyon. "Geography is destiny," Napoleon said, and for Hunt's party crossing the Rockies in late fall 1811, this proved true. The Mad River carved through a vast lava plain, flowing 300 feet below in what would become Hell's Canyon, North America's deepest gorge. With buffalo jerky gone, they survived on bouillon and traded with Shoshones for dogs to eat. Despite weakness, they maintained 20 to 30 miles daily. Crossing the lava plain on a Shoshone shortcut, they endured severe thirst until rain came, with voyagers drinking their own urine to survive. By December, Hunt's split and starving party forced him to backtrack, seeking Indians and horses for food. Having seen no game for over a week, the group began to fragment. Hunt continued with the main party, leaving 2 beaver skins and 2 men to help those who couldn't go on. 10 days later, they found Shoshones and acquired 5 horses, immediately slaughtering one. Despite warnings about winter mountain crossing, Hunt refused to delay Astor's timeline. While Astor celebrated in his Manhattan mansion, Marie Dorion gave birth in a mountain camp, rejoining them on horseback the next day. Her infant died a week later in waist-deep snow. At Astoria, the men had built a fortified settlement with a palisade, warehouse, and cannon-mounted corners. By August 1811, they awaited the Tonquin's return, unaware of its fate. The Tonquin had sailed north to trade with coastal tribes. Captain Thorne ignored warnings about the numerous Clayoquot Indians boarding his vessel, boasting about his cannons. When a chief rejected his low trade offer, Thorne insulted him by rubbing his face with fur, a fatal mistake. The next day, Clayoquot warriors concealed weapons beneath their mantles and attacked without warning. They killed all officers, leaving only 5 crew members who barricaded below deck. 4 escaped by night in a longboat, while 1 wounded man remained. When the Clayoquot returned to loot the ship, this survivor waited until they boarded, then detonated the gunpowder stores. The explosion killed 200 Clayoquot and destroyed the vessel entirely. In Astoria, winter 1811-12 brought anxiety with no sign of the Tonquin or Hunt's overland party. McDougal, seeking leverage, threatened local chiefs with a supposed vial of smallpox. Mid-January saw the first overland party survivors arrive in rags, followed by Hunt's main group a month later, all bearing signs of winter hardship. Spring brought hope as the beaver arrived with supplies and fur trading flourished. The Okanagan Post alone turned $200 of goods into $10,000 in furs. However, the War of 1812 changed everything. With Hunt stranded in Hawaii, McDougal and Mackenzie, both former Northwest Company employees, sold Astoria to their old company for 30 cents on the dollar after warnings of incoming British warships. The Northwest remained under joint occupation between Britain and America for decades. The Astorians' most significant legacy came through their hardships. Hunt's overland party discovered the optimal route across the continent's western third, while Stuart's return party found South Pass, the key crossing of the Continental Divide. These paths would later form the Oregon Trail, though it remained unused until American settlers began following it in the 1840s. Had Astoria succeeded, it might have secured an American coastline from California to Alaska. Instead, it stands as a tale of ambition, cultural collision, and human endurance, a pivotal moment in America's continental destiny that largely faded from national memory.